Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Notando Mlotshwa is joining us on the line. Notando Mlotshwa Williams, good afternoon to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Not too bad, thank you.
Lovely, fantastic, fantastic. Great to have you here on the show. I hope your day's been good so far.
It's been crazy hectic, but I'm here. I'm still alive.
Well, crazy hectic is good. It means you've been productive, eh?
Very much so.
Yeah. We're now talking about the effects of a teacher burnout on student learning. You know, from ensuring all students get the support they need to directing the after-school programs and grading assignments after hours, teachers are critical players in schools, and they often find themselves stretched in many different directions. Naturally, students are also absorbing some of this impact. In fact, I cannot imagine how the teachers do this. What causes teacher burnout in the first place, Notando?
You actually hit the nail on the head. It's a lot of demands, you know, because already you are planning, you're preparing to spend your day in the classroom. You want to deliver the best to your students so that they learn the new concepts and you're preparing them for exams. But you're the same teacher who's also wanted for extracurricular activities. So you put aside some of the work that is your core business because now you're needed, whether it's the sports field, whether it's for a musical, whether it's for a trip somewhere. There's so many demands on the same person. So in the end, there are things that fall through the cracks. The teachers, what can I say, their energy,
yeah,
the passion that they ought to have, the passion that even drove them into the career in the first place. In the end, you just feel like you're just putting one foot in front of the other, and that shortchanges the students.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I speak to students. I do duties in the girls' hostel. So if you get to speak to them outside of the classroom, and kids will talk about teacher X or teacher Y really doesn't even want to be in the classroom. And at the same time, I know that this is a teacher who loves their job, but they're probably tired, and the kids pick it up. And that's not fair because they're the ones who deserve the best version of us.
True.
That's why they come to school.
Yeah, true, true, very true. I actually thought, Notando, that you guys do have a break, a very well-deserved break, actually, during the school holidays. And unlike many, careers where people are working throughout the year, at least come December, almost a month you're off. Come March, about 2 weeks you're off. June, about 2 weeks, etc. I thought that would make up for possible fatigue.
You would think, but because of the fact that we do have those breaks, then the terms are extra. They're actually jam-packed because they actually then justify it and say, you know what, you're going to have a month off. So those 3 months or 4 months that you're in school are so jam-packed it actually takes its toll on you anyway. I think we're just struggling to find a balance with the demands of our current society, because I'm not so sure that teachers during my time were this drained. Yes, they worked hard, but I don't know. I don't remember a lot of my teachers coming onto the sports field, so I don't know. Something has changed along the way.
Yeah, well, I think I can agree with you there. Now, I normally look at the homework of my kids, and you'd swear these kids are doing first-year university.
It's very demanding, even on the children.
Because,
I agree.
Yeah, it's actually hectic, man. It's hectic. Now,
yes.
How does this affect teacher performance, though?
Clearly it will, because I'm not giving 100%. I don't have the energy anymore. I'm trying to fulfill 4 or 5 different functions. In the end, something's going to fall through the cracks.
For
me to sit down and mark, I'll give you an example. My subject is a content subject. I teach language. I teach English literature. There's a lot of writing and reading. I need to sit down, mark, concentrate. That becomes challenging if I'm the same teacher who's on the sports field, whether it's tennis, whether it's swimming, if I'm the same teacher who's traveling with the kids because they're going for some National Allied Arts presentation somewhere, and the same teacher's going to go with them because they've got a tour, they're going to play in a different country. I'm the same teacher. So in the end, the kids really do not get the best version of me. That's one. Two, there's also the dissatisfaction with the teacher. I came here to deliver the best to my kids. I came here to make them fall in love with literature the way I love it. But now if all I'm doing is trying to catch up, we're always catching up. I'm giving them so much more work because I'm trying to catch up to fill in the gaps. I think it's a little unfair in that regard. So some of the things where I could have taken time to walk my children through, now I'm letting them go discover it on their own. I'm not saying it's bad to give kids the opportunity to discover, but we are now forced. I think it explains why there's so much more as homework, so much more homework across the board.
Yeah, and these homeworks, man, I can tell you, they're unbelievable. In fact, you open your eyes and you're thinking, am I seeing double or what? Is this supposed
and
to be?
And you're thinking this child is only in primary school.
Exactly.
Look at the amount of homework they have to do.
My goodness. And if that is the amount of work, I can imagine on the teachers with all these 20 kids, 30 kids in the class,
yeah.
and each of them,
yeah.
you know, needing your undivided
yes.
attention, it must
yes.
be... Wow, my goodness. And,
yeah, and it is very demanding.
Oh, man. So how can this burnout be avoided? Is there a way?
Well. Well, when I think about it, there are ways, hopefully. I don't know. Let me put it like this. I think there's always a way around some of these things, but it takes people working together to make it happen. For example, if we have our school administrators who understand that the well-being of the teacher is important because it's going to affect the children in the long run. If there's also the fact that we do not have too much interference, for example, from very influential parents, you know, because there are times where you may come across some parents who feel, no, you know what, with the amount of school fees we're paying, these teachers should work more, should work harder. There's a certain entitlement that comes with some interfering parents. I think also it's also the fact that we need more breaks. The school I'm at, even before the actual school holiday, we actually have weekends that are called fixture freeze, meaning that these particular weekends, the students don't have any sporting activities. So because the school I'm in is 100% boarding, when we have a fixture freeze, the children go home on a Friday. And we are always looking forward to those. We have two of them in a term. We look forward to them, not just us and the kids as well. For me, because I'm going to catch a break, I get to breathe. And I also catch up on my actual work. The students also get a break because this, the amount of homework they're doing, the studying, the activities, the demands of the educational system on them, it's quite demanding. So I think instead of just waiting for the school holiday, maybe we need to have a couple of, you know, a couple of those breaks. We don't have the 2 weeks where I am. We can have a weekend here,
you?
Continue with the term, and then a weekend there, continue with the term, because it's still during the term. But when schools close for the term, then yeah, we have a month. We have a full month where I am, a full month. So that's 3 months in a year. Yeah.
Yeah, man. And now, being a teacher, is there a way that one can recognize early warning signs of burnout? What would those be, or what do those look like?
At times, I'm not sure if we notice them until we've been living with them for a while, but the fatigue, the constant fatigue. When you start battling with fatigue, you're struggling to stay on top of your own deadlines. I mean, if I'm going to be sitting on my kids next to them, hand in my work, at certain deadlines, but I am failing to then mark and give them back the feedback, the constructive feedback within time. You know, we tend to say, you know what, it's because I was traveling, it's because I've got these other extracurricular activities. So we justify the fatigue without noticing that this is not just exhaustion. It's deeper than exhaustion. Sleeping 7 hours of 7 hours at night doesn't make me feel fresher to the next day.
7 hours?
There's a certain underlying. I'm just giving you an example.
Oh, okay.
I don't think we do manage the 7 hours because there's so much going
on. There's a lot.
But I'm just giving you an example. That we live with the fatigue without noticing that these are the early signs.
Yes,
until
yes.
it gets to a point where you actually have brain fog. You forget things. You're standing in front of the class. You forget things you're doing. You know, it actually seeps into your personal life. You become forgetful, you're dealing with anxiety, disrupted sleep patterns, which leads to a cranky teacher, which then pours out into the classroom, and you're not a pleasant teacher to be with. So everybody suffers, and it's not fair. It's not fair on anyone. Yeah,
I can imagine, because also kids being kids, they're not even going to pick these things up very quickly, especially early warning signs, and they're going to be making noise and they're going to be naughty and all of that. And I imagine all of that drives one up the wall. I mean, you know, if you only just have about two or three kids in the house and they're already driving you up the wall, imagine with the 20 odd kids in the class. It must be monumental craziness, eh?
No, it's quite crazy. I've seen a couple of memes that say teachers should wear body cams like police so that parents can see how their kids behave in class, you know, because at times when we write a comment about the child and the child says to the parent, no, that teacher just hates me. You're thinking, I wish the parent knew what this child is doing in my classroom.
Yeah.
That contributes to the conflict between myself and that child. I think back to the lockdown when parents had to be with their own kids at home. A lot of parents struggled. I'm one of them. I'm not pretending it was easy on me either. It was difficult because now we're with our own kids 24 hours a day. We're with them. You're overlooking their study and you realize they're actually a handful. They are a handful. A lot of us were glad when schools opened. Like, okay, let the kids go back to school. But I'm a teacher, so as they were going back to school, they were coming to me. So that's my life. I'm dealing with that every day. So,
it's
a fulfilling job. Yes, you can only survive if you love the kids and you love the job.
Yeah.
But it's a problem when it's too much and there's no balance and you now suffer from burnout because this job is not meant to be a chore. It's not meant to be a chore. That's why it's a calling. It doesn't pay a lot. It demands a lot out of you. That is why it is a calling. But you do not want a calling to then jade your view, color your view, and it's not fair on everybody involved at all.
Yeah. And what actually you did mention in bits and pieces what remedies, you know, can be implemented to actually assist, avoid a burnout, in the first place, like some little breaks here and there. And I don't know, what is it that, parents can do to assist with the burnout, maybe? Is there anything they can do, actually?
I think in terms of, maybe let me talk specifically about student discipline. Discipline, I feel, is something that shouldn't be the teacher's responsibility, but both. It's the school, it's the teacher, but the parent as well. It's difficult if I am supposed to put rules. Schools have rules. So it's really difficult if I'm trying to get students to follow these rules and respect the rules, and maybe where they're coming from, they have so much free rein. I'm not suggesting that teachers have the right to tell parents how to run their homes. But I'm just saying, I think discipline just needs to involve all the adults who are committed to the child's well-being. That's one. I think another thing, I thought about it after I'd spoken to you earlier, that I think our schools should also invest in actually getting qualified people to actually lead these extracurricular activities. For example, when I go with the girls for tennis, I am not a tennis coach. I may play, I may understand the basics, but the kids then deserve someone who's qualified, so that during that time where they're with the qualified outside coach, it gives me time to also catch a break. It also gives the children a chance to associate with someone different. I think that would be something to look at, where we do not keep demanding all this from the same teacher who should be marking and preparing for exams and stuff like that. I think we need more people. Some schools, I know in America, there's a lot of teaching assistants. I think it's in their system. I wonder if we ever have that in our schools. Yeah, I've never heard of it, so I don't know. Where you have a teacher, but the teacher has a teaching assistant. So there are some things that the assistant handles, and then the teacher then concentrates on the core business. So I don't know if that's even a possibility, but those are things that would help, actually, I think.
Yeah. Man, yeah, it's a quite a lot to deal with, I must say. And true, what you're saying, that if it's not a calling, you're going to be seeing yourself out of that gate sooner than and quicker than you actually came in. So it's
absolutely.
It needs patience, it needs love, it needs all sorts of things, because you're dealing with little ones, and that actually also needs a lot of attention. Now, we have seen in this part of the world where teachers, learners, quite rude with the mm-hmm. teachers, and at times very physical. I don't know if it happens in that part of the world, where they would just, you know, talk back to the teachers, what you're going to do, and there's nothing you're going to do. Just sit there and teach me. That's all you need to do, and all of that. And this person, you can see that this has not been taught well. And on this side, when you are fatigued and you are tired, you need to focus. And here now you have got to be dealing with bad behavior, which is reason enough actually to sending some of these people home, eh?
Yeah. No, that one is quite tricky. But when I think back to when I was in school, teachers actually used to use corporal punishment. So you were scared of them because they would hit you.
Yes.
And you didn't go home and report. If you dared to report, your parents would hit you for embarrassing them. That's the primary school I went to during my high school days. The teachers had that power. But now kids have so many rights. I don't want to pretend that the rights have messed up everything. The reason there was even the advocacy to protect children is because we'd gotten to a point where there were too many cases of abuse. So the children did have to be protected. So I think we are struggling to find a balance, because without a balance, the children already know that you're a toothless bulldog. So you can shout all you want, and the child has the guts to say, what are you going to do to me? Because they know you can't lift a finger. You can't touch me.
Yeah.
Sometimes, it's not always, but sometimes the kids hear the same thing from wherever they're coming from. So when there's no respect for the profession, there's no respect for the teacher, the children have also picked up from where they're coming from, that that teacher is useless. So the child already comes with a certain attitude towards you. They're not open to anything that you have to say. As a teacher, I am imperfect. I'll make mistakes, but I don't want a child to then call me a mistake the whole time they're in my care. I'm there to do my job. So even the classes that I teach, I tell them, guys, you don't have to like me, but you will have to respect me. So respecting me means you don't talk while I'm talking. If you don't like me, it's okay. How about you just learn the skills you need so that you pass and get out of my class?
Yeah, yeah.
So there are times when they drive me crazy. I say, if you don't like me, maybe I don't like you too. Of course, it's just that they now know me, so they know I'm being silly. But there are times where I tell them, don't think that when you don't like a teacher, it bothers them or it affects them. Just learn what you need to learn so that you move on. Because you being in class with a teacher you don't like, or being in a school with teachers you don't like, it's preparing you for life. What if you get a job and you've got workmates you don't like? Are you going to quit your job? So learn to get along with people. So you're not just coming to learn stuff from your books, your textbooks. Sometimes you're learning skills for life. So learn and move on. You don't have to like me.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is that some of the strictest teachers make such a big impact. While the kids are at school, they don't like those extra strict teachers. But once they're done, those are the teachers the kids come back to and say, thank you, ma'am, thank you, sir.
Exactly.
Because they learned something. They will have learned something.
Beautiful. Well, man, I must thank you so much for joining us, Notando Mlotwa Williams, this afternoon. I know that we have taken much of your time because you should be resting and taking it easy and preparing tomorrow's day. But here you are talking to us for so long. But we do want to thank you so much, because it's something that our listeners, parents, and even learners have got to be aware of. And so we do appreciate your time here. Thank you.
No, thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Lovely. Thanks.
All right.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.